You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Bob Barsha, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
We are excited. We just got to see this fantastic race. And this is John Massengill. I got Jonathan Green and Bob Barsha sitting next to me. What do you think, boys?
It's kind of a bit more fun when you're actually here.
It is a bit more fun. We got a live audience in front of us, and we can see the throngs of crowd right in front of us going to the podium.
And if you can hear that boom, boom bass, that's because we're in the middle of a concert right now, above us, on the podium.
Yeah, it's right above us.
Literally.
It's not a concert. It's a DJ.
Okay, sorry. Good point, Bob. Yeah, fair point.
tell us how you really feel, Bob.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we got to see this race, guys, and it was an interesting take on this because we were thinking that it might be difficult for Max to come through, but he pulled it off.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think the whole key to Max's race was staying on those hard tires, which he said he discussed with the team yesterday when they came up with the idea. If he could make them last, and he definitely made them last. I mean, he was not only competitive late in his stint. What did he go to? Lap 40, 41? I've forgotten. But he snatched back the provisional fast lap of the race on those very, very used hard tires. So it was a brilliant driving job by him. Was it the most exciting race? No. Was it a purist's race? Yes. And was it a spectacle? Beyond question. I mean, what the Miami organizers did here, what they did to the track, the extra seats, everything they did to make this race attractive and interesting to everybody, whether you were interested in music, food, flopping in the pool, or being right up against the fence when the Formula One World Championship came to town. It was all of those things and then some. I thought it was a really good show.
I think Christian Horner summed it up when he got on the radio to Max and just said, mighty middle stint here at Miami. That basically was it.
Yeah.
I mean, in the middle of the race, because that's where he won it, was on going long. They gave him freedom to go long. The radio said, hey, Max, we've looked at the tires, go for it. And he did, and that closed the gap. They calculated that it was going to be 5 seconds between the two of them, and by the time he pushed on, it was 1 second, and that was all it took.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, we were so excited to see Verstappen come up through the ranks and attack with Alonso, but the Red Bull DRS made that a very uneventful pass when he passed Alonso.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I think, you know, we'll talk to Sean in a moment, but the purists will have really enjoyed that. It wasn't the most dramatic of races. There wasn't the incidents that we thought there might be. So, you know, I think that's key to this, is that it really was something for those that really understand strategy and want to get into that. So it was one for the real Formula One fans today. A bit like Baku, to be honest. It was a measured race by Red Bull then. Checo had the better of him, and this time it's the other way around.
Yeah, I've said it a million times, but I'll say it again. I mean, if you're just interested in contact and passing and all that kind of stuff, Interstate 95 is not very far away, and it's always choked with traffic here. But if you wanted to watch a guy at the height of his powers with a great team behind him and a great car under him, I mean, what Verstappen did today was superb. I mean, in the days of Michael Schumacher,
People
would say, Schumacher wins all the races. I said, yeah, but he wins them differently every time, and you're going to want to say you saw this guy at his best.
All right, well, Chris Medland is out grabbing some interviews for us, and I don't know if he's live. Chris, are you with us live right now?
Oh, of course I am, yeah. I'll
there he is.
Something you guys say. I'm always listening.
Well, give us eyes and ears out there. What's happening?
I'm in the chaos of the kind of mix zones. So where the TV pen is, where the drivers go and speak to broadcasters, is in one of the helixes on the corner of one of the stadiums. And then they head to see the print media, which is what Charles Leclerc is currently doing. And then I'll see if I can grab him after that. But a lot of fans then can get fairly close and see across the barrier. What's chaotic about this now, though, is that they start trying to pack up. Teams are coming through with suitcases, and they're taking tires or wheels off the rims and things like that, all while fans are milling around everywhere. So it's just got busy as everyone's come back from the podium. But, good energy down here, as there has been all weekend.
Yeah, I think that's the word of the Grand Prix, for at least off the track, is the energy of not only the electronic music, but the crowd. It's just been amazing.
I think that Miami have pushed us to the very limit, and I'm agreeing with Chris here, both pre and post. I was on and in the paddock and on the grid for the pre, and I have to say, I don't know how the guys got their positions and got everything out amongst the crowd that were right up to the last 10 minutes before, they needed to get out of the paddock. And likewise on the grid, I don't know how they got the cars through the throng that started to ensue. So, I think we've taken it to the very limit. And now there's going to be mistakes or problems with a car not making it to the grid if they increase it in even further. But a great performance by the organizers.
You know, success is relative. Now, Verstappen won because they expected nothing less, and rightly so. But there were a lot of great performances out there.
Yep.
Fernando Alonso on the podium, age 41, in the Aston Martin. Great drive. George Russell moved up to P4 after some hideous qualifying. Lewis Hamilton drove well. Gasly and Ocon for Alpine, who were absolutely lost in Baku and lost at the beginning of this weekend, suddenly came forward and scored big points. And the Haas team getting into Q3 and then running in the points. Unfortunately, Nico Hülkenberg fell back, but there was a point there for Kevin Magnussen in 10th place. And that is success by their standards, and I think you have to celebrate them for that.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And, you know, we talked about the struggles that that McLaren was having early in the weekend, and it continued, and it never got better for them, guys. Finishing 17th and 19th.
One man's ceiling's another man's floor, for sure.
That's a meltdown, almost. I mean, that's not good at all.
Why don't we bring in the Sultan of Shrewsbury and see what he had to say.
The Sultan of Shrewsbury. Meal Brace, I think.
Sean Kelly, what do you think, Sean?
Well, that gentleman might have been the most perfect, unhindered race we've ever had in history, because there were no retirements, there were no yellow flags, there were no safety cars, there were no red flags.
That's incredible.
I don't think I don't think we've ever had that in a Formula One Grand Prix. We've had all of those things happen individually, but we've never had everything run completely unblemished all the way through a race, as far as I can recall.
Never, as in never.
Yeah. I don't want to stick my neck out, because records aren't kept in terms of electronic, right, you know, light fittings from the 1950s. Right. It is the 14th retirement free race we've ever had in Grand Prix racing. So we're already down. So you already narrow it down to those 14. And the fact that we didn't have any yellows, I mean, the only other equitable situation, remarkably, was Monaco in 2021, when the only retirement of the race was when Valtteri Bottas took 3 days to get the front wheel off because the wheel nut seized up.
Yeah.
He was the only retirement, but the entire Monaco Grand Prix ran without a single yellow flag, let alone a safety car or a red. And today we've had that again, and they were over and done with in an hour 27, which is extraordinary.
The elapsed time of the race had to be minimal, 90 minutes, less than 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was literally, that was as quick as that race could have happened today. There was absolutely no hold-ups or anything.
And when you look at qualifying, which preceded it, obviously, you would have predicted, and I certainly said it myself this morning, that it was going to be crazy out there.
We always say, you know, safety cars breed safety cars, cautions breed cautions, and this is a good example of once they all settle down, you know, things just carry on as normal. And I think, you know, that it's only once you get one incident that incidents tend to sort of pile up. And we saw that in Australia, didn't we? We had the exact opposite here. We had everything run almost in scientific laboratory conditions. Mm-hmm. I would love to see, you know, Monday morning at the factory, if the simulations that they ran, how close they were to what the actual result was. And incidentally, this was a remarkably similar race to Jeddah in terms of what we ended up with. We had the same front row, with the same cars finish, same three drivers on the podium, same driver in fourth, same driver in seventh, same two cars from the same Alpine team in eighth and ninth, same driver in tenth, same driver in 11th. It was almost like Jeddah and Miami. I think they should probably be twin cities from now on.
Well, we were just talking about McLaren and what a poor day they had, and Chris Medlin caught up with Lando Norris just a few minutes ago, about 5 minutes ago. So let's hear from Lando Norris.
Lando, that looked tough out there. There wasn't a single yellow flag in that race. No retirement, kind of nothing dramatic. So from your point of view, is that the worst that could have happened?
Pretty much, yes. Made it the toughest race we could have had. But I don't think it would have changed too much anyway. We were just very slow today. We had no pace. We couldn't achieve anything. We couldn't race people. So I don't know how much it would have helped us. We would have needed a lot of luck for anything to go our way, but we did our best we could. Just not our day at all.
Just gambled on the soft to try and make something happen, was it, at the start?
No, we didn't gamble on anything. We had a good start, gained three positions. They got hit into turn one and taken off. No gambles, just good strategy.
Unlucky, cheers.
Wow, that's got to be depressing.
Yeah, he sounded depressed.
Yeah.
Jonathan, I want to ask you about Aston Martin. I mean, where this puts them right now.
Well, let me just put it in a context of time, really, because they go back to England tonight after a long trip of 2 weeks, and they're going to open a new factory, and they're sitting second in the championship, 6 points ahead of the factory team, with only that factory team and Ferrari to stop them from continuing that form. Alonso is, no question about it, in a league of his own when it comes to the new Alonso with this car. Stroll is there or thereabouts, and there's no reason now you can't seriously take Aston Martin's quest to be at least second in the championship as on now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, last year they scored 55 points in the season. They're already up to 102 in the first five races this season. Alonso, his part, he's now got more podium finishes in the first five races than he scored in his previous seven seasons of Formula One put together. So it's the renaissance of Fernando Alonso, the Indian summer, if you will.
And that's seven seasons of participation, because he also had that two-year layoff in there.
Yes, I'm not including the hiatus when he was not racing in Formula One at all. So it's been a long time coming, not since 2013, really, have we seen Alonso in this ascendancy. Although, we will get to the next race at Imola, and 10 years will have passed since Alonso's last win. So he didn't quite get it. He was probably hoping to win today and not have that on his shoulders, 10 years without a win.
And can you imagine the German press now on Toto Wolff saying, you know, the little team that could, Jordan originally, and all the way through now to Racing Point and now Aston Martin. And I know that Lawrence Stroll has put a lot more money and a lot more ideas behind him. But this is incredible because Alonso himself is in the championship hunt as well. And again, is ahead of Lewis Hamilton in fourth place by some margin. And, you know, their battles were famous back in McLaren days. But Alonso really is in a position to take it again to the rest of the field, taking out Red Bull for a second. Amazing, amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Hey, let's check out with Chris Mennen outside. Hey, Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Well, it's people are flowing from the paddock, as it was, the space behind the pit garages, into the football stadium again. So it's livening up on the field. But I did manage to grab a word running along that paddock a little bit ago with one of the drivers of one of the teams that Johnny was just talking about. One who had a good day, I'd say, George Russell, getting up to fourth place. So I managed to grab him. And this is the reality of life as a Formula One driver sometimes. Or even life as an elite athlete. Check out the start of this clip. Going to get George on the walk and talk, and he can walk quicker than I can, but what a good race.
I'm walking quick because I've been summoned to doping, and normally if you get there behind any other drivers, thank you, cheers. If you get there behind any other drivers, you've got to wait a long, long time, so I'm trying to beat, I think it's Carlos and someone else who are the other drivers summoned.
Well, we'll walk quickly, but how happy are you with that performance? Carl looked really good in race trim.
Yeah, I was really, really pleased. Probably the most satisfying race of the season. Especially making Mo's overtake stick. It was a bit of an unknown on the dirty part of a track. Beating the Ferraris. Hang on one second, I just see my guys. Cheers, guys. Well done. Nice one. Cheers. You know, beating the Ferraris on merit, not a million miles away from Fernando, was a good one, but clearly we still have work to do.
Well, yeah, and some of those moves, though, which was your favourite out there?
Yeah, probably the one on Carlos. That was a little bit further away, making it stick. It was a pretty decisive one because unsure if I'd have been able to pass him thereafter.
Well, you're trying to race him now, so I'll let you go. Cheers.
Cheers.
The race for the whiz.
Good luck in doping, but you got to get a sample together.
And that's just standard operating procedure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Does anybody know what they test for? What they test actually for?
Any kind of PED or performance enhancing drugs, and those the list is a long one, and I'm not a pharmacist, so I won't even begin to try to describe them all. But you know, while we're on the subject, it's kind of interesting as to what sort of enhancement, no moral judgment, what sort of moral enhancement would help a racing driver?
None.
As opposed to a football player or
good question.
You know, a gymnast or whatever. You know, it's,
you know, mental sharpness is so much a part of it. It's like I can't imagine any of these drugs doing anything but hurting that. You know, but I don't know. Maybe there's some, you know, something we don't know about. But,
well, I just, I mean, they are athletes at the end of the day. So sure. I think you've got to look at it in Olympic terms, which is stuff that helps the muscles not to fatigue as quickly, because it is very strenuous, the heat, etc. So yes, there are certain things that you could, but no, not anything that was mind stimulating would be crazy.
All right, well, let's just take a break real quick, and when we come back, we'll bring you more live from Miami after the Miami Grand Prix. Back after this.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to Speed City. We're live in Miami in the Chase Sapphire Lounge. And this is John Masgill, Bob Barsha, Jonathan Green, and Statman Sean Kelly. And we got Chris Medlin. And speaking of Chris Medlin, he caught up with Ottmar Szafnauer just a few minutes ago. And we will hear from Ottmar now.
Ottmar, you wanted to get both cars safely to the finish. Double points were on the cards. Double points is what you got. How happy are you with the way you executed that race?
Yeah, it was good. I think we're just lacking a bit of pace. Had we been one or two tenths quicker, we could have been further up the road. But yeah, both in the points is great. We'll work hard on adding a bit more downforce to the car soon. And yeah, look forward to the rest of the season. If we can do this every time, we'll be in good shape at the end.
Yeah, Pierre's race looked like it promised a little bit more than it ended up with the way he kind of slipped backwards a little bit today.
Yeah, well, he slipped backwards towards the end. There's some tire differences towards the end. He was fighting with Lewis and Leclerc. And, you know, when you're up there fighting with the Mercedes and the Ferraris, that's pretty good.
Well done today.
Got to be a happy camper.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like any team principal, Ottmar Szafnauer of Alpine is looking ahead.
Yeah, he enjoyed that.
Loaded into the boxes yet. None of what we have to change now. We're going to Imola.
Yeah, he enjoyed the moment very briefly and is moving on. All right, well, Chris caught up with some other folks. In fact, he caught up with Yuki Tsunoda. Let's hear from Yuki.
Yuki, in a race that not a huge amount happened in terms of incidents or yellow flags, interruptions, you made a lot happen, it looked like, out there. You had a pretty feisty race, great move towards the end. How did it feel in the car?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of car performance, I felt quite good. Pretty surprising, to be honest, considering the qualifying pace. But yeah, able to overtake quite a lot, especially in the braking. And I felt quite confident in the braking, so able to kind of send into the car. But yeah, surprised that I heard there was not much overtaking because, I mean, it was definitely difficult to overtake because the DRS zone was quite short, but I did it quite a lot, so yeah, I enjoyed it, yeah.
I know finishing 11th must hurt a little bit, just outside the points. Were you eyeing up Magnussen in those closing stages? You were bringing the gap down.
Yeah, I was so close, and I thought at one point I made a P10, so a bit shame that I was P11 again, but yeah, I was really close. But at the same time, I got pressure from Shaw behind, so in the end, I maximised the performance in the end, so I'm pretty happy with it.
And you also had that driver introduction at the start of the race with the crowd cheering as everyone was introduced. How was that? You know, what did you make of the atmosphere and the energy here today?
Oh, definitely was special, and I felt really like kind of Formula One driver, and yeah, definitely a special experience.
Great stuff, thank you.
It made me feel like a Formula One driver.
Yeah, I don't think he's even convinced himself yet, even though it's his third season.
Gotta love the guy.
Sean, what were you going to say about Yuki Tsunoda?
Well, it's a frustrating time to be Yuki Tsunoda. Last six races, he's finished 10th twice, and he's finished 11th every other time. He must be getting tired of finishing one place outside the points every week.
Yeah, he said something interesting. He said there wasn't much passing because the DRS zones are too short. That's deliberate on the part of the officials because, as Ross Brawn explained it, the head of F1 operations, the DRS was never meant to allow you to pass somebody like he was tied to the ground. You're supposed to be able to catch up to a guy and then set him up for a pass in the traditional way. You're not supposed to be able to just blow by. And Yuki, who is still a very young man, third season, he may get the whole DRS thing all wrong. You know, the wing is open. I'm supposed to go by him. You know, well, not necessarily.
Yeah, and maybe this is they're shortening these DRS zones.
Yeah.
And this is the Red Bull effect, I think, maybe, partially.
And yeah. The other thing to think about on that one, and there's been quite a lot written about it over this weekend, is that they did change the zones both at Baku and here at Miami with no consultation with the drivers, and they're not happy about it because it's a double-edged sword. Longer makes it maybe more boring, shorter makes it more overtakes, but is it right?
Well, I think in Baku, maybe it was a little bit of a snooze, but I thought here there was some good racing today. I do. I'm not an advocate of having 180 position changes a race, you know, because then they don't mean anything.
No, we have Formula E for that.
Yeah, well, no comment. But yes.
From the commentator.
Do you think that there's a little bit to what I was speculating about the Red Bull effect, about Red Bull being so strong this year?
Yeah, I mean, Red Bull make it look so easy. I mean, they had with the DRS open in Baku, they had 23 miles an hour on Charles Leclerc. I mean, they really were passing him like he was nailed to the ground. I mean, if someone hit you with a car traveling at 23 miles per hour, you'd be in hospital. And they're just flying past
a cemetery.
Cars. Yeah, potentially. So, you know, these are huge, huge margins, but only for the Red Bulls, it seems. It seems everybody else is it's a little bit more difficult.
Well, the old unfair advantage that Mark Donohue wrote the book about. I mean, this is Formula One. This is supposed to be about excellence. And if you design a car that's going to lap the field five times, that's supposed to be what it's all about. You know, it's not supposed to be, well, let's play with the rules and so we keep everybody all bunched up. I mean, look at qualifying. Under these rules, qualifying was, the second closest qualifying session we've had in Formula One history. 1.2 seconds from front to back. That tells you something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really is the good old days, as people like to wax lyrical about. I mean, when Prost and Senna were driving that McLaren Honda MP4 in 1988, I mean, Imola that year, the third place car was 3.3 seconds away from pole. So now, you know, the whole grid is one third that time interval.
Right.
The entire grid, not just second to third place.
Yep.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more like a 100-meter sprint in athletics. I mean, you know, the margin's becoming tinier and tinier, but the same guy sometimes, like Usain Bolt, wins the race.
Yeah, I mean, it, as I said, today was such a clinical Grand Prix with no interruptions. You know, I feel like the simulators. Well, but this is the most accurate portrayal of a Grand Prix that they may have ever had in a simulator. But it speaks volumes to how little, you know, how well they execute. You know, there's no fumbles on pit lane, strategy works out correctly, and so on. They minimize any chance of error. So that's why we end up in the situation that we're in.
I want to talk about Logan Sargeant because Chris, he did not have a great weekend and finishing 20th. And Chris caught up with him just a few minutes ago.
Logan, your first home race, and one where there wasn't actually a lot of drama to help you get back into it after you had to make that early pit stop. What happened there?
Yeah, I put the car in a place I shouldn't have on lap one and took the front wing off and had to box early on that to get on that hard tire and run it for the rest of the race. Gonna have to take it on the chin and move on. I think the hard stint at the end wasn't too bad considering we took it 54 laps. We were a bit conservative on the balance to start the race, so I kind of had to persevere with that throughout the race and use my tools to try and get in a better window. But yeah, all things considered, I think I managed it well from that first pit stop, and yeah, it is what it is.
Well, yeah, the race didn't really come to you, but if we just look at the weekend of the whole, like, how's the experience been of your first home Grand Prix? It must be tough to reflect on right now, I imagine.
Yeah, it's been a tricky weekend as a whole. It just hasn't come very easily to me, and it was difficult. But at the same time, I really enjoyed the whole weekend. Just gotta move on to the next.
Well, thank you for speaking to us. Good luck.
Yeah, 22-year-old. He's really mature about this, isn't he?
But he's being too hard on himself. You know, it's a learning process. Nobody goes out and wins in their first five races.
But you know, these guys are so competitive. That's their DNA, is to be competitive, and they want to be great immediately.
Yeah. The one positive,
yeah, like
I can
tell
say
you, he used. I was going to say he used some more colorful language just before I hit record on that. When I kind of went as I was setting up for it, and I went, you know, what happened? And he was much harsher on himself off mic.
Yeah.
So that was the toned down version.
Very discreet of you.
The good news is for Logan Sargeant is he has actually finished every race. So at least he's getting the mileage. And you can't develop as a driver if you're off in the hedge somewhere. So that's at least progress.
Yes.
Off in the hedge. I'm going to use that.
Who no else hedges guys here, though, are there?
Yeah, no, there's not.
There might be some fake hedges, maybe.
So we talked to Yuki. We haven't talked about Botas and Zhou Guan Yu.
Well, Alpha took a step. Yeah. You know, they made Q3. So everybody, each team has made Q3 at least once. All is not lost. Rather like the Ferrari factory team, Alpha, you know, seems to lose something when the race goes on. You know, a couple of dozen laps and suddenly they're not as competitive.
Yeah. Bottas has been outside the points in the last four races. I mean, they had such a great start last year, and then it kind of dropped off the table for them a little bit. And they came out of the gates well last year. Since then, not so much. Granny Joe, he was in the points in, where, Australia, I think it was. It's been a bit average from Alfa Romeo, neither one thing nor the other.
I wonder if they're, sort of easing off the throttle now, since they know that big changes are coming when Audi moves in for 2026.
Quite possibly. I mean, maybe they're in a sort of interregnum between the previous regime and what's coming forth. But I mean, it's so typically Sauber, isn't it? Just to be sort of just there, but without necessarily being last or first. They're just this sort of in the middle somewhere.
Just looking ahead to Imola and just looking at how we're kind of getting pockets of battles now. We've got a 14-point gap between Max and Perez, so that will roll on into Imola. Alonso's only 30 points off Perez, and they're talking about upgrades coming for Imola as well. Hamilton 19 behind Alonso, and Carlos Sainz just 11 behind Hamilton. Russell and Leclerc also in a good 6-point deficit between the two of them. So there's a lot of reason going into Imola for the likes of Leclerc, certainly against Russell, and obviously trying to catch his teammate, to kind of individualize it, pocket it a little bit, and stop worrying about the Red Bulls, and just kind of concentrate on beating the guy in front of you.
And we've got another sprint race coming up at Imola, do we not?
Not this time.
No.
Last year.
Austria, isn't it?
Yeah, it was last year that we ran the sprint at Imola.
Right.
So that's what you'd be
thinking. I think it's Austria.
You're not alone in being confused by that, Bob, though, because Fred Vasseur mentioned after the last race that there was one coming up, and that's why Ferrari won't do big upgrade steps, because he's like, a sprint at Imola, then it's Monaco, where you don't really do upgrades, so Spain will be the next one. And I was there going, hang on, I swear we're not doing one this year. So the calendar's so packed, and it all changes so regularly that I think, even different team members are forgetting.
Well, further proof, if any was needed, that great minds think alike.
All right, guys, let's get a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to see who Chris is hunting down out there. You're listening to Speed City Live in Miami, back after this quick break.
Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, All Stop Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer. And I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Alstad beer, fantastic. And most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated, and our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated, and that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadtbier, Altstadt beer.com. Altstadtbier, Altstadt beer.com.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, boys, let's see what else we got. Chris Medlin, I think he actually ran to do an interview, if I'm not mistaken. You know, we've touched on the Haas team, but they look quick this weekend, and they got a point, with Magnussen finishing 10th and Hülkenberg finishing 15th. Sean, what do you think? Do you think we're seeing some progress with Haas F1 right now?
Well, I mean, it's slow and steady, isn't it? I don't think any of us thought when Magnussen was starting fourth on the grid that we thought that was indicative of where they would finish the race, unless there was the mayhem. But, you know, a point, you know, it's certainly better than nothing. His second points finish of the year for Kevin Magnussen. Third point finish in the last four races for Haas. So, you know, that's the green shoots of recovery. They're another team who, of course, came out the blocks very quickly last year, like Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
And then maybe fell back, which I think, right. You know, I'm somewhat speculating here, but I think the cost cap really helps the smaller teams prepare for a new season. But over the course of the long slog of a season, that's when you see the big juggernaut teams that can really sort of step things up. So it's important probably for Haas to get points in the bank right now. But of course, they have a big money title sponsor now. So maybe the budget is there to keep this going through the season.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate just a little bit on that, because, you know, I know that we didn't expect Magnussen to finish fourth. But I kind of expected him to finish maybe eighth or ninth, maybe.
I did think he had a bad first lap. I think
he had a terrible start.
Yeah, he was reversing through the field through that first lap. He'd probably be kicking himself.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty exciting doing the live show here in the Chase Sapphire Lounge here in Miami. And it's nice having a live audience. But
yeah, it's great. Yeah. We're getting some selfies done. People are dancing around. It's good.
Make sure you post that.
Yeah. All right, so what about, you know, we haven't talked much about Ferrari.
Nope.
You know, and
that says it all.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. Hey, Carlos Sainz finishing fifth and Leclerc down in seventh. Bob Barsha, what do you think?
Well, I think Ferrari is still, you know, in a muddled situation. They're quick, just not quick enough. And as I said, they seem to have the one-lap pace in qualifying down pretty well, but somehow it all goes slightly awry. I mean, they're not falling to the back of the pack, but they just don't seem to be as competitive in the race. And, you know, everybody talks about their tire management, or lack thereof, and how hard the car is on its tires. I don't know. You know, again, a middling result for them. by their standards. And, you know, the pressure will just continue to build from here. Mm. When are you going to win again? When are you going to take a pole again?
I think it was a pretty dreadful result, really. I mean, because, you know, you look at Carlos Sainz, who had that penalty added on at the end. I mean, he was across the line.
That 5 seconds.
Yeah, across the line. He was still 37 seconds behind the winner. And he was the lead Ferrari. I mean, Charles Leclerc, I mean, where was he today? I mean, he finished in the same position that he started. But we all thought, after crashing in Q3, we thought him and Verstappen are out of position. We knew Verstappen was going to move through the field.
Right.
But we also would have expected it to a lesser extent with Charles Leclerc. Yeah. And it didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
So I wonder if what was wrong.
Was he gun-shy after two crashes in virtually the same place in practice and in qualifying?
Possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah. But it's not a race that Ferrari will care to remember.
I hate to say it, but we've got to look at Ferrari as a building year again. And I know that sounds ridiculous because that's never Ferrari's quest. But this is a post-Binotto Vasser year where he is getting his reins. There's a lot of change in the background, or has been, with other Sanchez and Miki's going and all the rest of it. So Vasser is going to have to build his own team bit by bit over this season. He's got two great drivers. We know that. One of which is capable of taking fastest laps at pretty much any Grand Prix.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, I mean, Leclerc was on pole in Baku as well. So, you know, it has the ability to be quick.
Right.
They certainly, for whatever reason, it did not happen today.
Yes. Can I ask a question? Did anybody but me notice an Englishman singing?
I was going to say, that was my favorite radio message from George Russell.
I just love the man. He's taking Britishness to a new level. We're almost interesting, Nashville.
Yes. He did have some China teacups. For the coronation in the car, probably.
I think so, rattling away.
Yeah.
This is how we roll as he went into third. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was Tidy's best result of the year because he was P4 in Jeddah, P4 in the Azerbaijan sprint as well. So, you know, I think that's realistically the best he could have got out of that car for Mercedes today.
Hey, Chris. Chris Medlin, do you have... is your microphone hot out there?
It is because I can hear you. I was actually trying to step out Toto Wolff. Sorry about that. Who is in engineering right now. So I'm going to try and get him when he comes out. The debrief, because I want to get the Mercedes perspective as a team, because I mean Toto wasn't exactly chatty on the grid, was he? He knew it was a little bit tough for Mercedes this weekend so far, so I think he'll be much more upbeat if I can grab him. But I did get his old adversary, who he's probably looking at with sickening jealousy at the moment, Christian Horner. So I managed to get the Red Bull team boss to chat about pretty much a perfect weekend for them. Christian, middle of this stadium, there's music pumping outside, and a party I'm sure you want to get to at the moment, because another 1-2 in the can, and done so impressively. Just how happy are you with the way you executed that race?
Oh, look, a brilliant race, a great performance by the whole team. I mean, Max's middle stint was quite outstanding, and so to get our fifth victory, fourth 1-2 finish, you know, we couldn't have dreamt of that, you know, before the season.
Any trepidation when you were letting the two race in that final stint? I guess you really wanted Max to get that pit stop and get out ahead so there was no fighting needed on track, didn't you?
Well, we discussed it before the race and said, look, guys, at some point you're bound to come across each other, but if you do, keep it clean and race, you know, with respect for the team and for each other. And they did exactly that today. And it was firm racing, but fair racing between the two of them.
Yeah, were you surprised at the progress Max made so quickly? I mean, I know you've got a car that can do that, but on this track that looked tricky, we thought there'd be incidents, and it just seemed so clean from him.
That was remarkable. I mean, even when he was in traffic, he never dropped more than 5.5 seconds behind the leader. And that was crucial for his race today. And I think that he was very efficient how he came through the field. And then, obviously, between lap 20 and 42, his pace was so strong on tires that were 20 laps older than Checo's. That was where he did the damage. So when he put the mediums on and was only a couple of seconds behind, you know, with 10 laps to go, it was, or 12 laps to go, that was, you know, he'd already done the hard work.
Well, it was great that we saw your two drivers racing for the win and giving us something to watch, but there wasn't a lot of drama in the race today. There weren't any yellow flags, I think. No interruptions, no retirements. You know, is something missing here with this circuit? What do you put that down to?
Sometimes you get races like that, you know, and then in the next race there could be yellow flags, red flags, the whole lot, you know. So every chapter of the book is slightly different.
And a lot of talk about other teams and their upgrade package trying to chase you guys down. What's your upgrade plan looking like? Are you heading to Imola with some new parts as we get back to racing in Europe?
Well, you know, we're having to pick and choose what we're, where we apply the parts. So with the penalty that we're carrying, you know, with the restriction in development time, you know, we have to be very selective with that. So I'm sure our update will perhaps be more modest than others.
Does it worry you at all, though, with the car you've got? I mean, you just look imperious right now.
Well, you just never know. You just got to do the best job you can with the tools that you have. And I think the team are doing such a wonderful job. You know, such strength and depth that we have in the team across all areas.
And home race for Oracle, 1-2. It's a big party for Red Bull tonight here.
Well, it was great to have Larry Ellison and you know, Safra Katz with us this weekend, and it was their first race with us. And for them to come and see, and you know, for Safra, it's her first ever Grand Prix. So for her to come and experience that, you know, it's a great advert for Formula One for Oracle Red Bull Racing.
So I see Jim Farley here as well from Ford.
Jim's been with us all weekend learning about, you know, how we work and operate, and he's such a racing enthusiast. He's a great guy to have with us, and you know, there's big plans in the pipeline for 26.
Looks like he's picked well based on today. Well done.
Jim Farley is really a fun guy, isn't he? He seems like a fantastic CEO. But
yeah,
Sean is about to come out of his chair. He's got a stat for us.
Well, not a stat, but just backing up what Christian said about what he called the middle stint of that race. Well, of course, there wasn't really a middle stint because Verstappen only one stopped in the race.
Right.
What he's referring to there, I think, is the 25 laps between when Perez stopped and when Verstappen stopped. Because
right.
Perez was in on lap 20. Verstappen made his stop on lap 45. Now, in that 25-lap period, the idea would be Perez pits, puts brand new tires on, and then instantly starts closing the gap on Verstappen all the way up to the point when Verstappen himself pits for his new tires. On lap 21, Perez was 18.6 seconds behind Verstappen. So he rejoined 18.6 seconds behind. You'd think he would close up, wouldn't you? But if I look further down my notes to lap 45, when Verstappen pits, he had closed the gap by a net of 0.3 seconds. That's how Verstappen won this race, by right. maintaining that pace in the middle stint on those used tyres. And even though Perez had new tyres, he could not actually get... I mean, he did make some inroads early on, but Verstappen ended up hitting back later in the stint, and that's what won him the race.
And Perez was on hards. Verstappen switched to mediums.
Yes. So that gave, so of course, with Verstappen in touching distance, you knew really the writing was on the wall when he came out so close behind Perez that really Perez realistically couldn't offer up anything in terms of defense.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, are you still on?
I certainly am, and I've actually just got a man we were talking about a little bit ago, Fred Vasseur, who's always great with his time with us. Thank you, Fred. Looked like a tough weekend. Solid results still, with points with both cars, but looked like the pace to go with Mercedes and Aston was lacking in the race. Is that how you saw it?
Not really. I think that we were able to match with them, but not consistent enough over the race. And we had a good first part of the race with Carlos. He was matching Fernando on the first stint, and with Charles on the last part of the race, but even during the same stint that we were a bit too inconsistent. But we have also to consider both sides of the situation, the positive and the negative. Positive, it looks that we are able to have a good pace when we are putting everything together. The downside is that we are too much inconsistent.
Does it make it your job then is to work out how to get the most out of this car? It's not necessarily about improving it or developing it.
For sure, we'll bring update. It's we have to. We have always room for improvement on the update, and we'll bring update in Imola. But I think when you have a look on the race today, it's much more about to be able to extract the potential of the car. We are able to do it on some occasions, as the one lap or even the race. That if you have a look on the trace of the race, that we are not nowhere on some laps, and some laps are much more difficult. This is the first target, is to understand why we are so inconsistent.
And obviously Charles had that mistake in qualifying yesterday that meant he started out of position compared to where he could have been. Is it fine margins as well with yourselves and Aston and Mercedes?
What is true is that when you are in your situation, that I don't want to speak about Verstappen because he was probably on another planet today. But when you are into the group, sometimes for a couple of tenths or for a mistake, if you are out of position, it's very difficult to come back. And you can change the weekend completely and flip the situation for almost nothing, or the details that you can see that some cars are moving out of Q1 to be on the Q3 the week after. And by the way, it's also difficult when you are fighting in this group. But for us, we have to be much more consistent. I think it's the first target.
Well, that's something you're learning, though, isn't it? We were talking about it on the show earlier. This is your first season in this job. You can't change things overnight. Kind of, are you still in that learning phase, trying to pick up what needs improving, what needs changing, I guess?
Yeah, but I think this, it's true for every single team in F1, but it's a continuous improvement system. And I think it doesn't matter if you are into the team for 6 months, 1 year or 2 weeks, you have to keep this mindset. And for sure, it's perhaps a bit more difficult for me today, but I don't want to take it as an excuse or the main topic, that we have to be focused on how we can improve the situation. And I don't care about the rest.
Well, the motivation couldn't be higher though with the next race, could it? Off to Imola.
Yeah, for sure. But we don't need to be in Imola to be motivated.
Well, good luck for getting things turned around for the triple header. Thank you, Fred.
Nice job, Chris. All right, let's go to a break. And when we come back, Jonathan, you've got a little tweet that you want to read, because I spotted you reading that and I thought it was fascinating. All right, you're listening to Speed City. We're live in Miami from the Chase Sapphire Lounge. We'll be back after a quick break.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Karan Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Jonathan Green, you got a tweet up that I find fascinating.
My old mate Damon Hill, former world champion and, of course, one of the doyens of the sport, but said some people aren't enjoying this race, which tells me they don't understand Formula One. This is two guys fighting it out to become world champion. It's down to split seconds, and Max is having to have the perfect stop. And Damon's right. If And I know it doesn't apply to anybody listening to our show, because they know they're Formula One, but it really was, as you say, Sean, an aficionado's or a
purist race.
A purist race.
Yeah. And I mean, Damon, of course, when he won his title in 96, he was in exactly the same situation.
Yes.
Where Williams was so far ahead, it was just him against Jacques Villeneuve.
Yep.
And maybe some people didn't find that very appealing to watch. Yep. Personally, I found it very exciting, because when you've got two drivers like this who are actually fighting, you know, it's not a procession. It's like there's a final chess move to come in this game. Who's gonna make the winning move?
And the same was true against Michael Schumacher when he went head to head with him too.
Yeah. I
mean, Prost and Senna in the same team.
Yeah, if you've got that championship battle, I mean, that was always the thing that was lacking in the Schumacher years, is that you knew that the guy in the other car was not going to get a
driver.
Look in.
Yeah. Yep. Good point.
All right, guys, I'm just checking the grid to see if we missed anybody. We've talked about McLaren. We didn't talk about Piastri. I mean, what do you think about Piastri, Sean? You know, not just today, but this season through five races.
Well, I was actually thinking about this when we were just listening to Fred.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, boys, let's see what else we got. Chris Medlin, I think he actually ran to do an interview, if I'm not mistaken. You know, we've touched on the Haas team, but they look quick this weekend, and they got a point at Magnussen finishing 10th and Hülkenberg finishing 15th. Sean, what do you think? You think we're seeing some progress with Haas F1 right now?
Well, I mean, it's slow and steady, isn't it? I don't think any of us thought when Magnussen was starting fourth on the grid that we thought that was indicative of where they would finish the race, unless there was the mayhem. But, you know, at a point, you know, it's certainly better than nothing. His second points finish of the year for Kevin Magnussen. And, what, fourth? Third point finish in the last four races for Haas. So, you know, that's the green shoots of recovery. They're another team who, of course, came out the blocks very quickly last year, like Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
And then maybe fell back, which I think, right. You know, I'm somewhat speculating here, but I think the cost cap really helps the smaller teams prepare for a new season. But over the course of the long slog of a season, that's when you see the big juggernaut teams that can really sort of step things up. So it's important probably for Haas to get points in the bank right now. But of course, they have a big money title sponsor now. So maybe the budget is there to keep this going through the season.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate just a little bit on that because, you know, I know that we didn't expect Magnussen to finish fourth. But I kind of expected him to finish maybe eighth or ninth, maybe.
I did think he had a bad first lap. I think
he had a terrible start.
Yeah, he was reversing through the field through that first lap. He'd probably be kicking himself.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty exciting doing the live show here in the Chase Sapphire Lounge here in Miami. And it's nice having a live audience. But
yeah, it's great. Yeah. We're getting some selfies done. People are dancing around. It's good.
Make sure you post that.
Yeah. All right, so what about, you know, we haven't talked about much about Ferrari.
Nope.
You know, and
that says it all.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. Hey, Carlos Sainz finishing fifth and Leclerc down in seventh. Bob Barsha, what do you think?
Well, I think Ferrari is still, you know, in a muddled situation. They're quick, just not quick enough. And as I said, they seem to have the one-lap pace in qualifying down pretty well, but somehow it all goes slightly awry. I mean, they're not falling to the back of the pack, but they just don't seem to be as competitive in the race. And, you know, everybody talks about their tire management or lack thereof and how hard the car is on its tires. I don't know. You know, again, a middling result for them. by their standards. And, you know, the pressure will just continue to build from here. Mm. When are you going to win again? When are you going to take a pole again?
I think it was a pretty dreadful result, really. I mean, because, you know, you look at Carlos Sainz, who had that penalty added on at the end. I mean, he was across the line.
That 5 seconds.
Yeah, across the line. He was still 37 seconds behind the winner. And he was the lead Ferrari. I mean, Charles Leclerc, I mean, where was he today? I mean, he finished in the same position that he started. But we all thought, after crashing in Q3, we thought him and Verstappen are out of position. We knew Verstappen was going to move through the field.
Right.
But we also would have expected it to a lesser extent with Charles Leclerc. Yeah. And it didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
So I wonder what
was
wrong.
Was he gun-shy after two crashes in virtually the same place in practice and in qualifying?
Possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah. But it's not a race that Ferrari will care to remember.
I hate to say it, but we've got to look at Ferrari as a building year again. And I know that sounds ridiculous because that's never Ferrari's quest. But this is a post-Binotto Vassa year where he is getting his reins. There's a lot of change in the background, or has been, with other Sanchez and Miki's going and all the rest of it. So Vassa is going to have to build its own team bit by bit over this season. He's got two great drivers. We know that. One of which is capable of taking fastest laps at pretty much any Grand Prix.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and of course, I mean, Leclerc was on pole in Baku as well. So, you know, it has the ability to be quick.
Right.
It just, they certainly, for whatever reason, it did not happen today.
Yes. Can I ask a question? Did anybody but me notice an Englishman singing?
I was going to say, that was my favorite radio message from George Russell.
I just love the man. He's taking Britishness to a new level. We're all most interesting national.
Yes. He did have some China teacups. For the coronation in the car, probably.
I think so, rattling away.
Yeah.
This is how we roll as he went into third. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was Tidy's best result of the year because he was P4 in Jeddah, P4 in the Azerbaijan sprint as well. So, you know, I think that's realistically the best he could have got out of that car for Mercedes today.
Hey, Chris. Chris Medlin, do you have... is your microphone hot out there?
It is because I can hear you. I was actually trying to step out Toto Wolff, sorry about that, who is in engineering right now. So I'm going to try and get him when he comes out. The debrief, because I want to get the Mercedes perspective as a team, because I mean Toto wasn't exactly chatty on the grid, was he? He knew it was a little bit tough for Mercedes this weekend so far, so I think he'll be much more upbeat if I can grab him. But I did get his old adversary, who he's probably looking at with sickening jealousy at the moment, Christian Horner. So I managed to get the Red Bull team boss to chat about what pretty much a perfect weekend for them. Christian, middle of this stadium, there's music pumping outside, and a party I'm sure you want to get to at the moment, because another 1-2 in the can, and done so impressively. Just how happy are you with the way you executed that race?
Oh, look, a brilliant race, a great performance by the whole team. I mean, Max's middle stint was quite outstanding, and so to get our fifth victory, fourth 1-2 finish, you know, we couldn't have dreamt of that, you know, before the season.
Any trepidation when you were letting the two race in that final stint? I guess you really wanted Max to get that pit stop and get out ahead so there was no fighting needed on track, didn't you?
Well, we discussed it before the race and said, look, guys, at some point you're bound to come across each other, but if you do, keep it clean and race, you know, with respect for the team and for each other. And they did exactly that today. And it was firm racing, but fair racing between the two of them.
Yeah, were you surprised at the progress Max made so quickly? I mean, I know you've got a car that can do that, but on this track that looked tricky, we thought there'd be incidents, and it just seemed so clean from him.
That was remarkable. I mean, he, even when he was in traffic, he never dropped more than 5.5 seconds behind the leader. And that was crucial for his race today. And I think that he was very efficient how he came through the field. And then, obviously, between lap 20 and 42, his pace was so strong on tires that were 20 laps older than Checo, was where he did the damage. So when he put the mediums on and was only a couple of seconds behind, you know, with 10 laps to go, it was, or 12 laps to go, that was, you know, he'd already done the hard work.
Well, it was great that we saw your two drivers racing for the win and giving us something to watch, but there wasn't a lot of drama in the race today. There weren't any yellow flags, I think. No interruptions, no retirements. You know, is something missing here with this circuit? What do you put that down to?
Sometimes you get races like that, you know, and then in the next race there could be yellow flags, red flags, the whole lot, you know. So every chapter of the book is slightly different.
And a lot of talk about other teams and their upgrade package trying to chase you guys down. What's your upgrade plan looking like? Are you heading to Imola with some new parts as we get back to racing in Europe?
Well, you know, we're having to pick and choose what we're, where we apply the parts. So with the penalty that we're carrying, you know, with the restriction in development time, you know, we have to be very selective with that. So I'm sure our update will perhaps be more modest than others.
Does it worry you at all, though, with the car you've got? I mean, you just look imperious right now.
Well, you just never know. You just got to do the best job you can with the tools that you have. And I think the team are doing such a wonderful job. You know, such strength and depth that we have in the team across all areas.
And home race for Oracle, 1-2. It's a big party for Red Bull tonight here.
Well, it was great to have Larry Ellison and you know, Safra Katz with us this weekend, and it was their first race with us. And for them to come and see, and you know, for Safra, it's her first ever Grand Prix. So for her to come and experience that, you know, it's a great advert for Formula One, for Oracle Red Bull Racing.
Do I see Jim Farley here as well from Ford?
Jim's been with us all weekend, learning about, you know, how we work and operate, and he's such a racing enthusiast. He's a great guy to have with us, and you know, there's big plans in the pipeline for 26.
Looks like he's picked well based on today. Well done.
Jim Farley is really a fun guy, isn't he? He seems like a fantastic CEO.
Yeah,
but Sean is about to come out of his chair. He's got a stat for us.
Well, not a stat, but just backing up what Christian said about what he called the middle stint of that race. Well, of course, there wasn't really a middle stint because Verstappen only one stopped in the race.
Right.
What he's referring to there, I think, is the 25 laps between when Perez stopped and when Verstappen stopped. Because
right.
Perez was in on lap 20. Verstappen made his stop on lap 45. Now, in that 25-lap period, the idea would be Perez pits, puts brand new tires on, and then instantly starts closing the gap on Verstappen all the way up to the point when Verstappen himself pits for his new tires. On lap 21, Perez was 18.6 seconds behind Verstappen. So he rejoined 18.6 seconds behind. You'd think he would close up, wouldn't you? But if I look further down my notes to lap 45, when Verstappen pits, he had closed the gap by a net of 0.3 seconds. That's how Verstappen won this race, by maintaining that pace in the middle stint on those used tyres. And even though Perez had new tyres, he could not actually get... I mean, he did make some inroads early on, but Verstappen ended up hitting back later in the stint, and that's what won him the race.
And Perez was on hards. Verstappen switched to mediums.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so that gave... So, of course, with Verstappen in touching distance, you knew really the writing was on the wall when he came out so close behind Perez that really Perez realistically couldn't offer up anything in terms of defence.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, are you still on?
I certainly am, and I've actually just got a man we were talking about a little bit ago, Fred Vasseur, who's always great with his time with us. Thank you, Fred. Looked like a tough weekend. Solid results still, with points with both cars, but looked like the pace to go with Mercedes and Aston was lacking in the race. Is that how you saw it?
Not really. I think that we were able to match with them, but not consistent enough over the race. And we had a good first part of the race with Carlos. He was matching Fernando on the first stint, and with Charles on the last part of the race, but even during the same stint that we were a bit too inconsistent. But we have also to consider both sides of the situation, the positive and the negative. Positive, it looks that we are able to have a good pace when we are putting everything together. The downside is that we are too much inconsistent.
Does it make it your job then is to work out how to get the most out of this car? It's not necessarily about improving it or developing it.
For sure, we'll bring updates. We have always room for improvement on the update, and we'll bring update in Imola. But I think when you have a look on the race today, it's much more about to be able to extract the potential of the car. We are able to do it on some occasions, as the one lap or even the race. That if you have a look on the trace of the race, that we are not nowhere on some laps, and some laps are much more difficult. This is the first target, is to understand why we are so inconsistent.
And obviously Charles had that mistake in qualifying yesterday that meant he started out of position compared to where he could have been. Is it fine margins as well with yourselves and Aston and Mercedes?
What is true is that when you are in your situation, that I don't want to speak about Verstappen because he was probably on another planet today. But when you are into the group, sometimes for a couple of tenths or for a mistake, if you are out of position, it's very difficult to come back. And you can change the weekend completely and flip the situation for almost nothing, or the details that you can see that some cars are moving out of Q1 to be on the Q3 the week after. And by the way, it's also difficult when you are fighting in this group. But for us, we have to be much more consistent. I think it's the first target.
Well, that's something you're learning, though, isn't it? We were talking about it on the show earlier. This is your first season in this job. You can't change things overnight. Kind of, are you still in that learning phase, trying to pick up what needs improving, what needs changing, I guess?
Yeah, but I think this, it's true for every single team in F1, but it's a continuous improvement system. And I think it doesn't matter if you are into the team for 6 months, 1 year or 2 weeks. You have to keep this mindset. And for sure, it's perhaps a bit more difficult for me today, but I don't want to take it as an excuse or the main topic, that we have to be focused on how we can improve the situation. And I don't care about the rest.
Well, the motivation couldn't be higher, though, with the next race, could it? Off to Imola.
Yeah, for sure. But we don't need to be in Imola to be motivated.
Well, good luck for getting things turned around for the triple header. Thank you, Fred.
Nice job, Chris. All right, let's go to a break. And when we come back, Jonathan, you've got a little tweet that you want to read, because I spotted you reading that, and I thought it was fascinating. All right, you're listening to Speed City. We're live in Miami from the Chase Sapphire Lounge. We'll be back after a quick break.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Karan Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Jonathan Green, you got a tweet up that I find fascinating.
My old mate Damon Hill, former world champion and, of course, one of the doyens of the sport, but said some people aren't enjoying this race, which tells me they don't understand Formula One. This is two guys fighting it out to become world champion. It's down to split seconds, and Max is having to have the perfect stop. And Damon's right. If And I know it doesn't apply to anybody listening to our show, because they know they're Formula One, but it really was, as you say, Sean, an aficionado's or a
purist race.
A purist race.
And I mean, Damon, of course, when he won his title in 96, he was in exactly the same situation.
Yes.
Where Williams was so far ahead, it was just him against Jacques Villeneuve.
Yep.
And maybe some people didn't find that very appealing to watch. Yep. Personally, I found it very exciting, because when you've got two drivers like this who are actually fighting, you know, it's not a procession. It's like, okay, there's a final chess move to come in this game. Who's gonna make the winning move?
And the same was true against Michael Schumacher when he went head to head with him too.
Yeah.
I mean, Prost and Senna in the same team.
Yeah, if you've got that championship battle, I mean, that was always the thing that was lacking in the Schumacher years, is that you knew that the guy in the other car was not going to get a
driver.
Look in.
Yeah. Yep. Good point.
All right, guys, I'm just checking the grid to see if we missed anybody. We've talked about McLaren. We didn't talk about Piastri. I mean, what do you think about Piastri, Sean? You know, not just today, but this season through five races.
Well, I was actually thinking about this when we were just listening to Freddie Vasseur there, thinking, well, the only consolation that Ferrari have is they're not McLaren, because they've had a dreadful open to this season. And I'm sure there's a lot of... Yeah. There'll be a lot of teacups smashed against walls, not necessarily George Russell's teacups that we mentioned earlier, but yes, they're not feeling very good, and it's not a situation where Piastri can really demonstrate a great deal. I think the one thing he can do is actually do what George Russell did when he was at Williams, and maintain stoicism and always remain positive. It was always the thing I found impressive about George Russell after he'd spent his entire career wiping the floor with everybody in the junior Formula. He then got to Formula One, the car was terrible.
And I never heard him complain once. I never heard him say, what is all this about? The team don't know what they're doing. I never heard that. It was always, we made a step forward. We did this. I think there'll be things that Piastri can learn on the job here that he's never had to learn in his career before, which will stand him in good stead if he gets the big seat like, you know, George Russell has gone on to get.
Yeah, and that was always true of Michael Schumacher, who never said bad things about his team. We win as one, we lose as one. I will add the caveat, though, that we hear a lot more of the driver to team and vice versa radio conversations and what Michael Schumacher might have shared with Ross Braun back in the tall cotton with Ferrari may have been quite different from what we all now think of as Michael being very protective of his team.
Yes.
But you're right that that's something that a team wants in a driver. You don't want anybody putting what the American coaches would call bulletin board material.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jenson Button was the same. His second season.
Well, speaking of people that never criticize their team, always very positive at all times. Someone who will be very positive right now is Gunther Steiner. I've got him in front of me, and he's got a point on the board. Kevin Magnussen coming home 10th. Gunther, are you satisfied with that result, seeing as there was nothing else it looked like on offer today with the way the race ran?
Yeah, that's correct. If the big teams score the points, there is nothing on offer for the smaller ones, you know. Except, you know, I think we took the fight to the Alpines in the beginning because I think on a good day we can fight with them, but we are just a little bit slower than them. But all in all, as you say, if there's nothing happening out front, it's difficult to get points. So we got one home. That's a point again out of five races. We scored three times. So I think it's good. We just need maybe one... At some stage, a lucky day where we get a lot of points, you know, like one of our opponents did a few races ago. They got lucky and scored many. But all in all, you know, it's when you start fourth, you always have got big expectation. And then when you get only one point, it's a little bit, you know, a little bit down. But in the end, we need to be realistic about what the competition is this year and get on with it and just try to make the car faster.
Yeah, you did see Kevin lose a few positions at the start of the race. I think he was sixth after turn one. But was that also a case of him being careful? He knew that there was a chance to score points?
He was not really happy with his start. To be honest, you know, it wasn't done on purpose. Not to have a good start. But, you know, you lose a few there. I think he was back to seventh straight away. So, obviously, that didn't help. But I think the general thing is, over the long run, our car seems to be worse behaving in traffic than other ones. That's what the driver say, because they see other cars going very closed up and they cannot do that. So we need to work on that one, and I think if we figure that one out, we can be a lot stronger. But we just need to keep on working at it.
You were fighting with the Ferraris at times there as well, both drivers having goes. Was it fun to take the fight to the red team?
Absolutely. I mean, I think everybody enjoys, you know, when a small team like us or a young team like us fights with the big boys, you know. So that was pretty cool. We had a fight with the Mercedes as well a little bit, you know. So it was pretty cool. Just we need to make sure that we can do it consistently.
And just let's talk about the weekend as a whole here in Miami, a huge event they put on. The race ran clean. It was a strategic one. It was an edgy one without kind of controversy or drama. But what do you make of the second edition of the Miami Grand Prix?
Everything which was not perfect last time is very good now. You know, never will be perfect because you always can improve, but everything was good. I think the fans enjoyed it. You know, as you say, the race, I think it was interesting. It was pretty good overtaking the whole afternoon. So I think the fans enjoyed it, but also all the entertainment here and what they prepared, the facilities for the teams, they are fantastic here.
And for you as Haas, you must have had a really busy weekend. I bet you're looking forward to an evening off.
Yeah, I just want to get home.
The look on his face as he said that to me, he says, to end this interview. So good. Thank you very much.
Oh, good.
Great stuff, Chris.
He's so fantastic. Well, guys, we are almost out of time. I kind of just want to reflect back on this weekend because, well, first off, we've had a busy weekend. We've been on the PA and the radio. And, in fact, I've been running back and forth between the two with my little briefcase. And there's this guy in the hallway, and he goes, he said, are you carrying the football? And I went, what did he see he's talking about? And he's talking about the presidential football.
Because
I've been carrying the nuclear football.
Yeah.
Because we've been going back and forth. And, of course, the booths are on the opposite side of this massive stadium.
Maybe he thought you were lost in the stadium for 3 days.
For 3 days.
It wouldn't be the only one, I can assure you.
Yeah. This place is a giant labyrinth, but it sure feels like a huge success again.
It really does. And I might, if there's any other winners out
outside of Red Bull, it has to be the organisers and Garfunkel, Stephen Ross, Ip, everybody involved in organising that. And the fact that they're already talking about the potential of a night race and what they can do next, they've already stepped up from last year. The crowd, 30,000 more, more opportunity, more freedom for the paddock, the use of the stadium, thrilling.
Yeah.
Bring the fans
putting
in.
Putting the paddock inside the stadium.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Bob Varsha, what about you?
I thought it was terrific. Absolutely. And I've been harping on about this, the whole criticism of the American sense of showmanship and spectacle and entertainment and that sort of thing. But, I mean, a rising tide raises all boats. Not every race has to be like Miami or Austin or the British Grand Prix or Singapore or any of those places. Part of the fun of Formula One is that you have this diversity, all of these different locations, different track challenges, weather challenges. You know, it's a sport. It's you're faced with a bunch of challenges. You deal with them as best you can. And as Jonathan said at the top of our show, let the best man win.
Yeah, and I want to follow that up. You know, Formula One is going to country to country, 23 in all, and it's all about bringing what you do best. And America does this best, which is putting on a great show. Formula One does the same show everywhere it goes. But every country has its chance to show what it can do in its own way. And it did it brilliantly today here in Miami.
Well, Sean Kelly, I want to thank you for coming on and thank you for the brilliant stats. Fantastic to have you. We really appreciate it. We want to make sure everybody to tune in to the Wheel to Wheel show every Wednesday, Chris and I do. We get up early and record that bad boy Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. We'll have that show for you as well. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And thanks, everybody, here in the Chase Sapphire Lounge. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you next Sunday.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hi, this is Karan Chandhok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Jonathan Green, you got a tweet up that I find fascinating.
My old mate Damon Hill, former world champion and, of course, one of the doyens of the sport, but said some people aren't enjoying this race, which tells me they don't understand Formula One. This is two guys fighting it out to become world champion. It's down to split seconds, and Max is having to have the perfect stop. And Damon's right. And I know it doesn't apply to anybody listening to our show because they know they're Formula One, but it really was, as you say, Sean, an aficionado's or a
purist race.
A purist race.
Yeah. And I mean, Damon, of course, when he won his title in 96, he was in exactly the same situation where Williams was so far ahead. It was just him against Jacques Villeneuve.
Yep.
And maybe some people didn't find that very appealing to watch. Yep. Personally, I found it very exciting because when you've got two drivers like this who are actually fighting, you know, it's not a procession. It's like, okay, there's a final chess move to come in this game. Who's gonna make the winning move?
And the same was true against Michael Schumacher when he went head to head with him too.
Yeah. I
mean, Prost and Senna in the same team.
Yeah, if you've got that championship battle, I mean, that was always the thing that was lacking in the Schumacher years, is that you knew that the guy in the other car was not going to get a look in.
Yeah. Yep. Good point.
All right, guys, I'm just checking the grid to see if we missed anybody. We've talked about McLaren. We didn't talk about Piastri. I mean, what do you think about Piastri, Sean? You know, not just today, but this season through five races.
Well, I was actually thinking about this when we were just listening to Freddie Vasseur there. I was thinking, well, the only consolation that Ferrari have is they're not McLaren. Because they've had a dreadful open to this season. And I'm sure there's a lot of... Yeah. There'll be a lot of teacups smashed against walls, not necessarily George Russell's teacups that we mentioned earlier, but they're not feeling very good, and it's not a situation where Piastri can really demonstrate a great deal. I think the one thing he can do is actually do what George Russell did when he was at Williams and maintain stoicism and always remain positive. It was always the thing I found impressive about George Russell after he'd spent his entire career wiping the floor with everybody in the junior Formula. He then got to Formula One, the car was terrible. And I never heard him complain once. I never heard him say, what is all this about? The team don't know what they're doing. I never heard that. It was always, we made a step forward. We did this. I think there'll be things that Piastri can learn on the job here that he's never had to learn in his career before, which will stand him in good stead if he gets the big seat like, you know, George Russell has gone on to get.
Yeah, and that was always true of Michael Schumacher, who never said bad things about his team. We win as one, we lose as one. I will add the caveat, though, that we hear a lot more of the... driver to team and vice versa radio conversations and what Michael Schumacher might have shared with Ross Braun back in the tall cotton with Ferrari may have been quite different from what we all now think of as Michael being very protective of his team.
Yes.
But you're right that's something that a team wants in a driver. You don't want anybody putting what the American coaches would call bulletin board material.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah. And Jensen Button was the same. His second season.
Well, speaking of people that never criticize their team, always very positive at all times, someone who will be very positive right now is Gunter Steiner. I've got him in front of me, and he's got a point on the board. Kevin Magnussen coming home 10th. Gunter, are you satisfied with that result, seeing as there was nothing else it looked like on offer today with the way the race ran?
Yeah, that's correct. If the big teams score the points, there is nothing on offer for the smaller ones, you know. Except, you know, I think we took the fight to the Alpines in the beginning because I think on a good day we can fight with them, but we are just a little bit slower than them. But all in all, as you say, if there's nothing happening out front, it's difficult to get points. So we got one home. That's a point again out of five races. We scored three times. So I think it's good. We just need maybe one... at some stage a lucky day where we get a lot of points, you know, like one of our opponents did a few races ago, they got lucky and scored many, but all in all, you know, it's when you start fourth, you always have got big expectation, and then when you get only one point, it's a little bit, you know, a little bit down, but in the end we need to be realistic about what the competition is this year and get on with it and just try to make the car faster.
Yeah, you did see Kevin lose a few positions at the start of the race. I think he was sixth after turn one. But was that also a case of him being careful? He knew that there was a chance to score points?
He was not really happy with his start, to be honest. You know, it wasn't done on purpose, not to have a good start. But, you know, you lose a few there. I think he was back to seventh straight away. So, obviously, that didn't help. But I think the general thing is, over the long run, our car seems to be worse behaving in traffic than other ones. That's what the drivers say, because they see other cars going very close up and they cannot do that. So we need to work on that one. And I think if we figure that one out, we can be a lot stronger. But we just need to keep on working at it.
You were fighting with the Ferraris at times there as well, both drivers having goes. Was it fun to take the fight to the red team?
Absolutely. I mean, I think everybody enjoys, you know, when a small team like us or a young team like us fights with the big boys, you know. So that was pretty cool. We had a fight with the Mercedes as well a little bit, you know. So it was pretty cool. Just we need to make sure that we can do it consistently.
And just let's talk about the weekend as a whole here in Miami, a huge event they put on. The race, frankly, it was a strategic one. It was an edgy one without kind of controversy or drama. But what do you make of the second edition of the Miami Grand Prix?
Everything which was not perfect last time is very good now. You know, never will be perfect because you always can improve, but everything was good. I think the fans enjoyed it. You know, as you say, the race, I think it was interesting. It was pretty good overtaking the whole afternoon. So I think the fans enjoyed it, but also all the entertainment here and what they prepared, the facilities for the teams, they are fantastic here.
And for you as Haas, you must have had a really busy weekend. I bet you're looking forward to an evening off.
Yeah, I just want to get home.
The look on his face as he said that to me, he says, to end this interview. So good. Thank you very much.
Oh, good
great stuff, Chris.
He's so fantastic. Well, guys, we are almost out of time. I kind of just want to reflect back on this weekend because, well, first off, we've had a busy weekend. We've been on the PA and the radio. And, in fact, I've been running back and forth between the two with my little briefcase. And there's this guy in the hallway, and he goes, he said, are you carrying the football? And I went, what did he see he's talking about? And he's talking about the presidential football. Because I've been carrying the nuclear football.
Yeah.
Because we've been going back and forth. And, of course, the booths are on the opposite side of this massive stadium.
Maybe he thought you were lost in the stadium for 3 days.
For 3 days.
It wouldn't be the only one, I can assure you.
Yeah. This place is a giant labyrinth, but it sure feels like a huge success again.
It really does. And I mean, if there's any other winners outside of Red Bull, it has to be the organizers and Garfunkel, Stephen Ross, Ip, everybody involved in organizing that. And the fact that they're already talking about the potential of a night race and what they can do next, they've already stepped up from last year. The crowd, 30,000 more, more opportunity, more freedom for the paddock. The use of the stadium, thrilling.
Yeah.
Bring the fans
putting
in.
Putting the paddock inside the stadium.
Wonderful, brilliant.
Bob Varsha, what about you?
I thought it was terrific. Absolutely. And I've been harping on about this, the whole criticism of the American sense of showmanship and spectacle and entertainment and that sort of thing. But, I mean, a rising tide raises all boats. Not every race has to be like Miami or Austin or the British Grand Prix or Singapore or any of those places. Part of the fun of Formula One is that you have this diversity, all of these different locations, different track challenges, weather challenges. You know, it's a sport. You're faced with a bunch of challenges. You deal with them as best you can. And as Jonathan said at the top of our show, let the best man win.
Yeah, and I want to follow that up. You know, Formula One is going to country, 23 in all, and it's all about bringing what you do best. And America does this best, which is putting on a great show. Formula One does the same show everywhere it goes. But every country has its chance to show what it can do in its own way. And it did it brilliantly today here in Miami.
Well, Sean Kelly, I want to thank you for coming on and thank you for the brilliant stats. Fantastic to have you. We really appreciate it. We want to make sure everybody to tune in to the Wheel to Wheels show every Wednesday, Chris and I do. We get up early and record that bad boy Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. We'll have that show for you as well. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And thanks, everybody, here in the Chase Sapphire Lounge. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you next Sunday.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.